Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the analyst call for ABB Power Products and Systems India Limited Q3 results. At this moment, all participants are in listen-only mode. A question-and-answer session will conduct towards the end of the call. At any time during the call, you may click on the audio question tab below the media player and join the queue to ask questions. Please join the queue early in the call to ensure we address as many queries as possible. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. N. Venu, Managing Director and CEO, ABB Power Products and Systems India Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. You're able to talk about the presentation? So good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the call today, and I hope all is well at your end and you continue to take all necessary precautions to keep yourself safe and your family members safe. So I'm just referring to, I'm going to refer to the slide numbers we already uploaded in the stock exchange, just for your information, okay? And if you are able to see the slides, also good. And as our country appears to be slowly getting back on track, and we see active COVID-19 caseloads are coming down day by day, and more people getting vaccinated. You probably have seen yesterday we have reached a very important milestone of 1 billion doses of vaccine, and that shows that we have more, the vaccination rate is really improving across the country. And while the vaccination is improving, we also see green shoots of economic recovery are also starting to become more visible now, with core industries such as electricity, steel, cement, natural gas, fertilizers starting to improve, and with demand and economic activity picking up, business confidence also surged. We also see that business travel is also going up, and we share the same optimism like all of you are feeling, and we are feeling much better about the state of economy as well as business than we were at the start of the year. So let me refer to the slide number four. We retain our focus on keeping our people safe and healthy. As they say, prevention is better than the cure. There is no better way to prevent than by spreading awareness. We have continued conducting regular training sessions, consultations to our people, partners, and also employee families to combat the spread of the COVID-19 virus, reduce HSE hazards at workplace or sites, as well as prevent any ailment arising out of a new normal. We have held special sessions to impart awareness ranging from life-saving rules to proper ergonomics, hand posture. That's to ensure our people don't neglect basic health while adjusting to new way of life. Our work is underpinned by safety, integrity, and quality, which are our licenses to operate, and it continues to reverberate with our customers as well as to our high service standards. We are glad to be recognized by leading industry players such as startups for our values and commitment to safety, showing us that we are on the right track. Moving to the next slide, slide five. As you all may be aware, globally, firms have been grappling with supply chain constraints. The pandemic era supply shock is unfolding itself into gridlock force, delaying shipments of critical material. On top of this, there are shortages ranging from microchips to coal, hindering firms in unleashing their full revenue potential since these are base elements for our industries, and for our revenue-related things. In this scenario, while we have seen a steady rise in our orders, our revenue has been impacted. Even though we have had a meaningful order wins, we had about 64 crore worth of revenue impacted due to pandemic-induced delays, stopping us from testing a full recovery. Yet we managed a credible performance in sync with market realities. As you can see, we have more green in both year-on-year as well as quarter-on-quarter. Long-term fundamentals appear solid. Demand in the September quarter was driven by rail, data center, and utilities, helping us further strengthen our position in growth segments of the future, or what we call a high-growth segment. A considerable chunk of our orders pertain to renewable energy, with solar and hydro projects generating significant demand for high voltage and grid integration products. Transformers drew strong interest from rail and metro companies alongside top utilities to cater to rising power demand. We put unwavering efforts at stabilizing our supply chains and improving efficiencies. At the same time, we made solid headway towards our sustainability goals in this quarter. This year, as you recall, some of you, we have announced our 2030 carbon neutral strategy, and we have set ourselves as a short-term, medium-term, long-term targets to advance the energy transition underway in India as well as around the world. We have committed, as part of our short-term targets, 100% renewable energy consumption by all over our factories, offices, and project sites by March 2022. And I'm happy to share that as of today, we have achieved 100% fossil-free electricity at one of our factories, and we are very much on the way to reach our target by March 2022 in the remaining part of our factories. In addition to that, we have completed all energy audits and SF6 management plans, among other measures required to implement the transition to 100% fossil-free operations in all of our other factories as well. We strive to champion the urgency and pace of change needed to reach net zero. Achieving the promise of carbon neutral future means integrating large-scale renewable energy, overcoming complexity and capacity issues, and cutting waste. In that direction, I support our global initiative within the company to reward excellent environmental strategies and overall performance of manufacturing units. I'm happy to inform that one of our manufacturing factories located in Maneja, called the Common Operators Unit, ranked the highest among 33 global units for waste recycling, LED lighting, solar power generation, and its use. In addition to making notable headway in decarbonizing our operations, during the quarter, we proactively constituted an Environmental, Social, and Governance (ESG) Committee of Directors to track our performance and increase shareholders' value. In today's board meeting, this has been decided, and as you know, our company, our technology, and our portfolio shall enable, you know, carbon neutral future for our customers. So we are taking a leading role in not only announcing the carbon strategy, carbon 2030 carbon strategy, but also taking the leading role in announcing the committee of directors at the board level to track the performance of the ESG. So sustainability is at the heart of our purpose. At Hitachi Energy, Hitachi Edil Power Grid, sustainability at the heart of our purpose. And we are energized and motivated by the shared goal of accelerating a carbon neutral future for the generations, for the generations to come. Moving to the slide number 7, a resolute in our vision and goals, within our control, we have ensured a well-rounded performance besides making headway in segments that will advance the energy transition. We have ensured inclusive skill development under various programs and initiatives. Be it supporting young women in engineering colleges through financial aid, and career opportunities, or advancing diversity and inclusion at workplace under our Diversity 360 program. Collaboration internally and externally is a key for us to co-create solutions that benefit society. And collaboration is also extremely important during this changing energy transition. So we look at the whole picture of social, environment, mental, and economic value in our growth. We have continued to add our voice and thought leadership on key issues at prominent forums to lead the narrative on energy transition and transformation. Moving to the slide number 8. So we believe that electricity will soon become the backbone of the entire energy system. It is, as we can see, crucial to the sustainable development of societies and industries. It needs investments in the evolution of our power grids as well as in brain power. Education is a fundamental driver of the change we are seeking. Since the start of our standalone operations, we have been investing in academia and building solid underpinnings for the sustainable energy future. In the same fashion, in the quarter under review, we partnered with Premier Institute IIT Roorkee on smart and sustainable campus energy ecosystem. The project includes the setting up of an integrated energy and digital platform embodying intelligent and futuristic energy transport and waste management systems that can minimize harm to the planet. Our smart electric grid lab at National Institute of Technology Warangal was inaugurated by the Honorable Education Minister, Mr. Dharmendra Pradhan. Our aim is to create the right educational framework and facilitate to ensure talent that can facilitate reliable and clean power for all. And we have made some progress there to drive sustainable development, which takes me to the economic environment in the coming September quarter. So moving to the slide number 9, I think here most of this you know better than me, but just to tell you from our perspective, India appears to be on a recovery path. We see across the industries. The country is projected to be in the fastest growing major economies in the current financial year. The Indian government expects double-digit growth in the financial year 2022, and the growth rate is expected to sustain for the next decade or so. COVID cases are coming down, core sector output is going up, is the good news. However, we have many risks for which we must remain watchful. Vaccination rate is going up, but yet to be fully vaccinated. While the risk of infections around the festive season remains, we need to be cautious on that. Speaking of the operating environment for business, the aftermath of the first and second COVID wave has resulted in a soaring demand, while supply lines are being stretched thin with the traffic congestion at ports. Fuel prices and record high and core inflation with exclude food and fuel likely indicates impending inflationary pressure. While electricity demand is expected to grow between 8 to 8.5% in the financial year 2022, risk of power crisis emanating from coal shortages may dampen supply. The good part is that the government has assured that there will not be any shortfall on the coal, so that's a very good news on that. So while we have a great opportunities in the pipeline, but we cannot be wholly sanguine yet. Moving to the next slide, and the slide number 10. In the third quarter, all the headwinds have discussed notwithstanding, we remain the partner of choice for our products, services, and software solutions. Transport and industries alone grow about off the order book and is predominantly through direct sales. We continue to make headway in our key focus areas, such as renewable integration, metro and rail, and all essential drivers of our business growth, and also in line with our vision 2025. We cater to about cumulative 1 gigawatt of worth of cumulative renewable orders during this quarter, alongside taking a 150% jump in our performance in railway and metros. and 5% increase in the industries compared to the last year. We see a slowly in some industries start investing in the capex. Our contribution to power quality, however, left much for wanting. So we aim to increase our share there in the months ahead of months in the coming. Moving to the next slide, slide 11. Exports remained healthy, contributing more than 80% to the order book in this quarter. And cumulatively, if you take 9 months, our exports are in the same range as we have been talking about, between 20 to 25%. So exports cumulatively 9 months, we are around 22%. Among others, orders for the exports in this quarter, we received breakthrough high voltage orders from key utilities in South and Latin America, Eastern Africa, as well as an order for our power system studies from an FMCG company in South Asia. Our Southeast portfolio continued to deliver as we received a first of its kind automation order from Haryana State utility, booked our biggest online dissolved gas analysis order from Coastal Gujarat, our first wellcare remote asset management order in the renewable energy sphere in Asia for a 715-megawatt solar photovoltaic plant in Rajasthan, and the grid automation and cyber security orders for power stations, metals and petrochemical companies, in addition to several others. Our consultancy business attracted companies in power, aviation, textile, manufacturing and the specialty intermediates for synthetic studies. Customers' trust remained rock solid despite the difficult market conditions. Moving to the slide 12, our three-pronged strategy, that is protecting our people, preserving business continuity and preparing for the new norm, put in place at the peak of the pandemic, continue to support us in walking uncertain market conditions. Even amidst commodity market and supply line turbulences, we delivered a credible and sustained performance. As of September 30th, 2021, our order backlog stood at 4,896.5 crore, which will unlock revenue stream in the coming months and quarters. Our profit before tax was 47.2 crores Indian rupees, while net profit was over 614% year on year at 34.3%. Operation EBITDA stood at 55.6 crores in the September quarter, with EBITDA margin at 6.5%. High inventory build-up in our factories, mainly for our high-growth products due to the supply line crunch, deferment of revenue and high input costs impacted our cash flow. We had to borrow intermittently during this quarter. Easing of port congestion, stability in commodity markets, input costs are likely to bring relief and improve our short-term liquidity position. Moving to the slide number 13. Our priorities ahead, I've been also telling you in the previous quarters, I often say we are investing in India for the long term. While we aim to introduce new products, new to capture a bigger share of the market, our goal is to localize our portfolio, build indigenous capabilities. We'll continue to make in India for India for the rest of the world. Our key focus will remain protecting our people, along with them building our capabilities in high growth segments such as rail, data center, renewable, HVDC, and smart life, etc. The Indian government has set ambitious targets in each of these segments which I talked about. We will concentrate on accelerating our growth to service, digital solutions and exports, leveraging our strong local footprint. We have a comprehensive portfolio of future-ready and state-of-the-art products, software, services, systems to cater to them. Commitment to lowering the carbon footprint of our operations, product localization, digitalization of the grid will be part of our yardstick to measure our success. Nothing is complete without our people. Their safety, their growth, and their upskilling will remain in focus for us. In this energy transition, It's crucial that we take on the challenge of accelerating the pace of change. We see ourselves playing a leading role through our digital and energy platform as the partner of choice to our customers, for the industry, to advance a sustainable energy future for all. Moving to my last slide, it's very important slide, as you see that you may already be aware that we are already using a Hitachi energy slide. You may already be aware that globally, our promoter company, Hitachi Energy, went live on October 13, 2021. That means they have changed the name globally from Hitachi ABB Power Grids to Hitachi Energy Limited globally. So in India, we are in the process of securing approval from the Ministry of Corporate Affairs for a change in the local company name to align with the global entity. As you know that our shareholders have already approved the name change, and while I would hold sharing more information on that until the change actually happens, I can say that I and my entire team are very excited to start this new chapter in our history. Our new purpose of Hitachi Energy is advancing the energy future for all. We are advancing the world's energy system to be more sustainable and secure. As a pioneering technology leader, we collaborate with customers and partners to enable a sustainable energy future for today's generation and those to come. So with that, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to open the channel for your questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please click on the audio question tab below the media player. Click on OK on the pop-up to mute your webcast. Proceed with the Q&A session. The operator will announce your name when it's your turn to ask a question. Please unmute your microphone while proceeding with your question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Abhineet Kulkarni. Please proceed with the question. Abhineet Kulkarni, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with the question. Abhineet, it seems you have muted your microphone. Request you to please unmute your line and proceed. There seems to be no response from the line of Abhineet Kulkarni. We will proceed with our next question, which is from the line of Saurabh Shah.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Please proceed with the question.
So, a couple of questions on the financial slide, which is slide number 11. In terms of now, slowly, hopefully, if COVID doesn't come back in a meaningful form which affects our operations, what kind of revenue lines do you see for the next next 3 months, or how should we look at a normalized kind of number? For the revenue of 850 crores, last year it was 915. So do you see this trajectory kind of going up sharply, or you expect this to be similar in the next 2 or 3 quarters? How are you seeing the order execution timeline, minus, of course, any COVID surprise?
Okay, so thank you for the question. As you know, we don't give, being a listed company, we don't give any forward-looking statement. But I'd like to give a little bit of pointer so that you understand. I think with the COVID, as you rightly said, hopefully it's behind us and we don't see big waves as we have seen previously. And we expect that the revenue to come back to, pre-COVID level, slightly better than the pre-COVID level.
Okay. So with the order kind of intake going up, especially on a QoQ basis, do you expect that to accelerate? I'm not talking of, you know, maybe the next couple of quarters. So just, you know, given the way we had announced, you know, the demerger and the focus, are you seeing a slightly higher uptake in the revenue growth rate at all, or you still think it will be in the 1,000 crore range only?
No, we see, as you can see, you know, over the 9 months cumulative, we'll be already seeing an uptake in our revenue. And if you really look at the 9 months year-on-year, there is already 11.5% increase in the revenue, right? So that is considering the COVID situation. So definitely we would look at that, you know, uptake in that.
So where do you see, which segments do you see the highest growth coming from? Not necessarily reflected yet in the order book, but in terms of new tenders being put out, where do you see the most relevant growth for the business in the next 2 or 3 years?
I think the next growth segments are very clearly we have been articulating. One is that, you know, the rail segment is definitely a big growth. Rail segment is, one is that across country, one is that, you know, India's railways ambition of net zero by 2030. So that is accelerating 100% electrification of the rail. So that is definitely a growth area. And in addition to that, we see also the cross-country electrification, and we see a regional rail. And then also we see some of the, you know, metro rails. Today, if you really look at kind of 10 metros, our systems, SCADA systems. So that is definitely a growth area for us. And then the one more big area where we are able to see is that the high-speed rails. So those are, you know, very big projects, and that will really see a huge amount of growth in the rail. That's the one segment. And the renewable will continue to have the growth, you know. As you know, the government of India's target is to have a 450 gigawatt by 2030. So even if you take a factor, so we need to do at least, you know, 2 to 3 times more than what we have been adding the renewable lights. So that is a huge amount of opportunities and growth for us. And then the data centers. So one is the data center is also, you know, high growth segment with the data privacy laws coming in. So this has a quite a high growth things. In addition to the traditional things, as and when the industry CapEx starts, so we will see, you know, those things are also coming up in that.
Thank you, sir. So just given, as you mentioned, these three growth segments and, you know, this COVID kind of headwinds going away, so what kind of margin profile do you see? Because, you know, year-on-year, again, we see a slight dip in the margins. So, you know, from 7.2 to 6.5 in terms of operational EBITDA, how do you see that going forward? Do you expect to see things with those new kind of orders, renewables? You mentioned, you know, data centers and all that, where it sounds like they are certainly much more private sector-oriented. Do you see better margins going forward on a sustainable basis?
Yeah. So again, you know, we don't give a forward-looking statement, but we have been always saying that, you know, we have a clear strategy and plans in place to, you know, bring this operational EBITDA to a double-digit range over a period of time in a sustainable manner.
So what would be your kind of, I know it's not a statement of when it would happen, but what would be your target? Would this be the next year, 2 years? How do you see that?
Next, you know, 2 to 3 years.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Kunal Sheth. Please proceed with the question.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible, sir?
Yes, Kunal. Go ahead, Kunal.
Yeah. So I just wanted to understand what can be the growth rates in each of our end markets if I were to think from a five-year perspective, and therefore, how should we think about ABB Power's growth rate, you know, in that time period? What I'm trying to understand is that as we understand, apart from data center, the metros, the renewables are anywhere between 5%-10% kind of growth market, if I understand correctly. I would love to your thought on this one. And what should be the multiplier at which ABB Power can grow over the market?
Yeah. So again, So we will give you a bit of pointers for you to make an assessment. So we are very consistently saying that, you know, our strategy is to grow higher than the market. Okay, the market is growing X percentage, and we are growing higher than the market. We want to grow higher than the market because we are taking a lot of actions, proactive actions, and that's the reason in that. So there are some segments are growing a high single digit now, right now, and we see they are slowly moving to, you know, close to double digit things as the economy going up, and also the headwinds coming out of the COVID will slowly recede. So all these things factors put together, these segments will start moving towards single digit to slowly coming to the high double digit, slowly coming to the double digit side. So that is what is our assessment. We also see energy transition is a big thing coming in addition to the thing what we talked about. And energy transition is enable, you know, lot of investments in the grids, in the power systems. Now, just to quote one recently released report on the International Energy Agency, who released the report on India specific. As for them, to take care of this kind of, you know, challenges and the growth elements, India need to add the power system to the size of Europe in addition to the existing system. So that's the kind of the growth levers we are seeing in view of the decarbonizing, energy transition, interconnections, HVDC, etc. That's why, you know, we have, I've been also telling you, maybe we have the very few companies, we never stop investing even during the COVID. So as we are talking, our investments are going in various factories, close to 250 crores of investments are happening and expanding localization, expanding our portfolio, not only for the local market, but also for the exports.
Sure. Sir, and would it be possible to put a size to each of our end markets, very rough number?
No, we have not been giving those sizes, Kumar.
Sure. No problem, sir. And sir, my second question is pertaining to, ABB India and Hitachi Power, if you can help us refresh, difference in, end markets that we are catering to. Especially, I want to understand from a context of, spaces where, there are, applications for both LV and HV where, both can participate. Do we collaborate or how does that relationship work?
So, again, Hitachi Energy Limited or... our end customers are very clearly defined. So we are utilities, industries, infrastructure, transport, and also the new segments such as data centers, mobilities, and renewable integration sectors like that. So our portfolio, whole of our company portfolio, lies on four businesses. That is high voltage and the high voltage, and then the next one is transformers, and the third one is the grid integration. So grid integration we mean the substation, the HVDC, the power quality, and then e-mobility part of our grid integration. And then we have the grid automation, then we talk about the substation automation, then SCADA, enterprise software, asset performance. That's all of us in that. So there are some areas. So this is our portfolio and in markets very clearly defined. So there are areas where, take for example, a data center, and the data center customer approaches us with both the high voltage and electrification. So we do coordinate wherever possible, collaborate with utilities, but there is no compulsion on us that we have to only go with someone from X or Y. So while there is a anti-competition from ABB to us, but there is no reverse the anti-competition clause is there. So we are free to offer our things. But having said that, we will try to, wherever possible, to collaborate and co-create these kind of things.
So, if I understood it rightly, there are certain, products which are overlap in terms of where both you and ABB India are present. Because our understanding was that the portfolios are clearly, you know, defined and bifurcated into different end markets, as in LVH.
There are no products are overlapping between between us and our previous company, Kunal. So all the products are clearly distinctly it's different. So what you're talking about applications, take for example data center. So whether our previous company can do and what we can do, there may be some overlapping here, but other than that, the products are very clearly defined and segregated.
Thank you so much, sir, and best of luck for the future quarters.
Thank you.
Our next question is from the line of Renu Ved. Please go ahead with the question.
Yeah. Hello, am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. So good evening. I have a few questions. So my first question is on the performance. If we remember right, in 2Q, we had almost 200 crores of slippages in revenue due to COVID second wave. In the second quarter, we were expecting relative improvement in the pace of execution. However, again, because of supply chain challenges, 64 crores short of expectations because of these constraints. So effectively, as in, are we somewhere looking at execution pace slowing down for us for external matters, or we're also seeing customer readiness to accept these deliveries being soft? And by when should we expect revenues coming back to close to the 1,000 crore level in terms of the overall trajectory? If you can help us give some more insights on this.
So I think as you talked about, you know, it's a kind of different set of challenges in this quarter, and that's the reason we did miss it. But from a customer side, I don't see, you know, any of those limiting factors, because I see more, many of the customers are in fact asking us to accelerate the pace of execution, etc. In that, there could be, you know, single digit percentage of the customers lifting, because we also have a strict cash over revenue policy. That even though the customer is getting ready, our materials are ready, until customer pays, we will not be in a position to ship it. So that is always has, you know, a single digit percentage thing is there. But having said that, we do believe that with the customers, looking at taking the material, we would we are cautiously optimistic to come back to the, you know, the pre-COVID level, what you're talking about in this quarter onwards.
But at least, do you see the headwinds on execution and because of these external reasons easing out from 3Q, 4Q onwards, as we are already in the second half of the fiscal year? Or they might continue for some
headwinds,
time?
The headwinds, on the sports, etc., I don't think it will go away overnight or in the next couple of months or things like that. But what we have also taken action is that better planning, better booking of the ships well in advance, taking, you know, extra actions to book those kind of things. So those actions, in our view, should mitigate that problem.
Got it. So secondly, with this transition to Hitachi Energy, how far are we now with respect to complete control coming in the hands of Hitachi? And if you can share some view in terms of by when are we expecting the closure of this overlap of tech and IT charges which we have with ABB? And also, by when do you think should be the remaining 20% acquisition of the stake happen in the JV by Hitachi globally?
So let me, you asked the three questions, Renu. Let me just, on the transition to Hitachi Energy, as I told you, I showed you my last slide. Globally, we have done on 13th of October. So we have completed, when I say completed means, our name globally has changed from Hitachi ABB Power Grids to Hitachi Energy Limited. So that is what it is called. So there is no change of our strategy, there is no change of our line of business, there is no change of our way in which we serve our customers, etc.
No, not from the business perspective, but just from a 3-year transition of that, from a JV structure of to a fully Hitachi portfolio.
That is one. Second, when it comes to India, I also told you it is under process, so we will slowly come back. Second, the Hitachi ABB Power Grids joint venture, which was supposed to be for 3-year period, that is, which started last year, 2020 July, and it will go up to 2023 June. So until that, the remaining 19.8% stake, which ABB was holding it, they will retain with that. And please note, this minority stake is only at the group level, at the global level.
Yeah.
So not level. So that is for 3-year period, and it will stay there. So and the third is the IT cost you're talking about. As you know, we have already explained last time, our right now we are under the TSA exit cost with ABB is providing the IT services support, but at the same time, parallelly, we are building our own state-of-the-art, world-class Riva system globally, and those things will continue until 2023.
Okay, until 2023, till the JV structure exists.
Yeah.
Got it. And lastly,
sorry?
If I can on the, yeah. No, I just clarified those overlap of the cost will continue until this JV structure of 80-20 continues with ABB, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So lastly, on the business side, two things. A, you mentioned the transport industry now are almost 50% of the orders that we have. How large have they now scaled up in terms of revenues? And we were expecting that these portfolio from a long term will slowly be 50% or higher. So broadly, is this mix broadly look sustainable for us in revenue terms as well? And secondly, on power quality, where you highlighted compared to some of the other focus areas, power quality witnessed some decline. So is this more because of the timing of the opportunity coming in the end market with the customer and delay in revenues? Or probably we have seen increased competitive pressures or probably loss of some orders from to the competition?
Yeah. So power quality is purely a timing perspective. That's one. And then your first question was, the industry's growth is sustainable. And we were saying, especially on the transport and industries, right? And I was also telling you in the beginning to another colleague that one of the high growth segments where we are looking at is the transport, and we will see a multi-year growth because there are so many drivers I talked about in that. So basis which, and also slowly the industries are making a small capexes, and with that we should be in a position to see this, if not at least 50%, but very high visibility of this.
Got it. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Umesh Rawat. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. Good evening, sir. So, sir, my first question is related to the gross margin for the quarter, which is at around 41%, which has increased on a year-on-year basis despite the raw material prices has went up significantly. So any reason, particular reason, why, I mean, gross margin has improved year on year despite the commodity variations going against us?
Okay. Our CFO, Ajay, you are in the call?
Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Yeah. Thank you, Umesh, for the question. So let me give a color to this. So in the current quarter, if you see compared to the earlier quarter, our gross margin improvement has mainly come because of the product mix. So it is a product mix that is, you know, helping us for the gross margin improvement. And compared to the earlier quarter, if you see our exports and service has improved compared to earlier. That is also contributing for the gross margin improvement. But largely, if you see, it is on account of the product mix.
Got it, sir. And sir, going forward, because we are targeting.
Just to add to our CFO. We are showing this slide 9 continuously, you know, how our strategy is to, you know, go towards more products, services, and software, and those kind of things. And you can see that, you know, our product services has much more bigger share of wallet than the, you know, projects. So that's also our strategy to move towards a high growth segment and also towards a good margin segment.
Got it, sir. Sir, so going forward, do you see structurally our gross margins remaining above 40% say in and or the consistently improving because we are targeting higher share of revenues from exports as well as from services?
Yeah, I don't want to put a target on the gross margin. As I told you, we have taken a target ourselves to compare operational EBITDA double-digit margin. So that is what is our endeavor to do that. So we will do all that. We will also do operational improvement. We will also look at, you know, the gross margin improvement by adding more value-added digital service, etc.
Okay. Sir, my second question is, if you can share some light on the competitive intensity, especially since last 3-4 quarters, because one of the domestic player is coming back aggressively in the market into the power production systems. So how are you seeing the competitive intensity right now?
I think you know, when it comes to competition, so we have seen all these players before also. We will also see players after that. And our view is that the competition is good for the sector, good for our customers. And what we also always ask for is a level playing field in that. So we have very clear strategy, you know, to bring the differentiation in front of our customers, differentiation in terms of the technology, differentiation in terms of the, you know, digitalization, differentiation in terms of, you know, decarbonizing efforts of our customers. So all these things would, you know, give us a due respect and due share in the market, and that's what we will look at it. You know, we always, competition will be there. It was there also previously.
Okay. So my third question is about the, in the previous con calls, we have mentioned the HVDC pipelines in the near term, considering 3-4 projects which are under discussion. So just wanted your view on the timeline, and second on the high-speed rail project between Ahmedabad to Mumbai, where initial package ordering has been done and now some tendering work is expected to start. And you have mentioned previously in the con calls that there will be a synergy in between Hitachi and in the funding agencies because of the same parentage or same country, that is Japan. So basically, just wanted to know your view on the ordering from the HSR opportunity, and which particular products we are expecting orders to come in for HSR.
So let me ask you a first question. I think first question on the HVDC is a very important question. So we have been telling very, very clearly the energy transition is quite big. The HVDC technology is an extremely important technology in, you know, making a grid more flexible, make robust, and enabling the penetration of the renewable even more in that. So basis which we also said that we believe at least one HVDC project to come for bidding in the market for one per year, at least for the next 3 to 4 years. This is what we have been telling, and we are consistent in that. And we see that, you know, while we are talking, one project is under bidding, and there are other couple of projects are under you know, various stages of approval to come for a bidding, and that's exactly where it is. So we are taking a lot of actions here to, you know, localize some of the equipment and bring the more skills and improve our you know, efficiencies, etc., to take care of those things whenever it is available for us. That's number one. Number two is on the high-speed rail. Now we are part of the Hitachi's ownership. So we do qualify for this, where the Japanese fund is there as a step component. As part of wherever our portfolio comes, that's called as a step component. We do qualify for the step component of those projects. And we are working with our companies in Japan on this HSR, basically the high-speed rail project Ahmedabad to Mumbai, and right now, as you know, the civil has been awarded, and then the work is going on. So these electrical and the balance of systems, SCADA, and the things like that will come maybe in the next year or something like that. Yeah.
Thank you. Mr. Raut, request you to join the queue for any follow-ups. Also, participants are requested to limit your question to two per participant. If time permits, you may join the queue for any follow-up. We have the next question from the line of Jeetu Punjabi. Please proceed with that question.
Yeah, thank you so much for this presentation. I've got a few pointed questions at a high level, right? So I heard you say that you want to grow at the rate, you expect to grow at faster than industry. I'd love to understand how you articulate your competitive advantage, a source of competitive advantage to do that. Two, when you sit down with the Japanese Hitachi bosses over there, how would they calibrate success for this company in India, and how would you personally calibrate success in your eyes as well, and what would be the most difficult part of the journey to get there?
I think that's very good question. So on the competition side, you know, our competitive advantage which you talked about, I think we are continuously, as I told you, we are continuously investing in the localizing of the footprint, investing to bring the, you know, sorry, let me just take a water.
Sure.
Investing in the localization of the footprint, investing also to bring our products, which so far we are using a complete imported products to localize it. And third one is we are also, you know, improving the skill sets of our people, because the shift in the energy transition is making the total portfolio is totally different, digital, you know, artificial intelligence based, and, you know, so on and so forth in that. So that's the reason we are saying that we are able to you know, take care of the competition with this kind of multiple actions already in place, both localizing it and then improving our broadening our portfolio. And in addition to that, exports also one of our key strategies. We said exports is over a period of time, we go to 20 to 25%, and I'm happy to tell you that within the 9 months period, we already reached a 22% of exports in that. So that is how our overall competitive advantage is that. So how do you see the success from our shareholders' standpoint, or our majority shareholder, global shareholder? So it's a very important for us to know that, you know, how do we increase our shareholder value, and how do we increase our customers, how do we improve our customers' processes, efficiencies, how do we decarbonize it? You know, how do we ensure that we bring the more diversity? All these things is part of our KPI, which is also part of our global shareholders who will see the successful of that. So sustainability, I talked about, is a key important element, right? We are a technology provider decarbonizing the whole of energy system. So we have to set ourselves as a benchmark. So that's the reason we announced that by 2030, we want to be carbon neutral in our operation. And that's the first step is, by end of this fiscal year, all our factories, project sites, offices will be powered through 100% fossil fuel. So these are the things we are setting ourselves as a target so that, you know, we are able to walk the talk on this and able to set ourselves as a benchmark in that. So we also started a committee of the independent committee of the board of directors on the ESG. All these things are quite important in the decarbonizing efforts of the energy system. So the success is stakeholders' value and taking care of our customers and our people.
And I think the one part is, what in this journey will be the most difficult part that hinders you from getting there? Or what would be the biggest challenge to overcome and to get there?
No, the biggest challenge is that, you know, we always have this kind of, you know, uncertainties. Like, you know, we have seen the COVID wave one, wave two. We see the sudden lockdowns of the ports, etc. These are the uncertainties we have to face. So we got to be, you know, be more resilient, able to take care of those kind of things.
Okay, super gracious. Thank you very much.
Thank you, operator.
Thank you. Take the next question from the line of Priyank Chheda.
One last question.
Yes, this will be the last question, sir. Yang Chera, you can please ask the question.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sure. So thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So I understand you have been elaborating every quarter as to how the synergies between Hitachi India and Hitachi Global Parent has been improving. So if you can, you know, help us understand more and break into how the business prospect has changed, and if particularly if you can highlight on how the business share on the Lumada platform has been, you know, going to and the progress on that.
So, is there any crosstalk? Okay. We have been saying that we started this synergies only after we became part of the Hitachi ownership, because until that it was antitrust. We were not supposed to exchange and share the information. So we started doing that, and the low-hanging fruits are this like high-speed rail and those kind of things. We are working very closely with them and seeing the movement on the ground is going very well. And we also said that, you know, the IoT platform, Hitachi has invested very heavily on the IoT platform, a very respected IoT platform globally. We would like to leverage that IoT platform and offering our enterprise software suits on IoT platform. So we've been also discussing and doing some pilots here and there, and making a progress in that. So we have a very clear milestones on that. So we are on track as far as those synergies are concerned.
Thank you. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that would be our last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. N. Venu, Managing Director and CEO, ABB Power Products and Systems India Limited, for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, operator. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, a very big thank you for your patience and taking time from your busy schedule at attending to this conference call. Please reach out to us if you need anything. We are happy to provide and engage with you. And I'm really looking forward to this upcoming investors call. Hopefully we will see each other face to face, and until that, please take care, stay safe, and also take this opportunity to wish you all a very happy festival season, Diwali and etc. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ABB Power Products and Systems India Limited, that concludes today's session. Thank you for your participation. You may now exit the meeting. Thank you.